Hey there, teacher friends. Before we start today's episode, I want to make sure you know that I have free teaching guides for every single month. If you want to know what to teach this month, if you want to know what I'm focusing on in this month, if you want resources to help you with how to teach that, activities to do, definitely want to check out these free teaching guides. The secret tip for you is if you type in kindergartencafe.org/whatever month we're in, it will bring you right to the guide. If you're not sure how to do that, or you want to grab all the guides, because some people do that, and I think that's a great idea to see the whole year, kindergartencafe.org/guides has all of my free teaching guides all in one place and other guides as well, all to support you in your teaching. I hope you take advantage of this and let me know if you have any questions when you are checking out the guides. Hey, teacher friends, it's Siba from Kindergarten Cafe, and today I want to talk about field trips. I have a field trip coming up, and so I thought I would use this time where it's fresh on my brain to share all the tips and tricks I've learned over the years, because most likely you are at some point going to have to deal with a field trip. So let's get into it. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. First tip I have is about choosing the right field trip. You should pick a place that really connects somewhat to what you're teaching about, because that is the point of the field trip. So think about if you're learning about community helpers or farms, or if there's a science topic, things like that. Think about a place that can connect to what you're learning about. You also want to think about like the experience for the kids. What would it be like for them if they went there? Is it a place that would offer a kind of enrichment that they might not get to experience every day? You also want to think about, is it indoor or outdoor or both? Is it a big open area where there's a lot of field trips happening? Like I'm thinking about the zoo, right? The zoo has so much great learning, but I would never want to go on a field trip there because it is huge. It is huge. It has tons of field trips every day. There's tons of people there that are just there to see the animals, not even on a field trip. And it's outdoors. So like it's so spread out. It's hard for you to be able to keep track of all the groups, for you to manage everyone and to make sure that kids aren't getting lost. And the other thing to consider with outdoors is the weather. Now, if you're in a place where the weather's usually great, then you can ignore what I'm about to say. But in New England, where I live, the weather is quite fickle and you never know what you're going to get. And if it's raining, like what happens to that outdoor field trip? Because quite likely it's going to be raining or something, or way too hot, or, you know, depending on when in the year you're going, the temperature is definitely going to affect things. So if you're choosing an outdoor field trip, make sure there's some kind of rain date. But even that is so annoying because then you have to reschedule the transportation and the parents, you know, all that stuff. So definitely keep that in mind when you are picking your field trip place. Maybe the outdoor place has an indoor option if it's raining. That would be great. Obviously, you should also consider how far away it is from the school, because then you'll have to get them to that field trip. Do you have access to buses? That's going to increase the cost probably of the field trip. But how long are they spending on the bus? Because you don't want it to be too long where they get really antsy and maybe have, you know, car sickness or something like that, or they might have to go to the bathroom. You definitely want to consider all of that. You also want to consider, is this a place where you have to bring lunches? Will you be there? Is it so far away that you'll be there the whole day? Is it someplace that you can get lunches? Like, how would that work? That's something to look into and consider. And of course, just the overall cost. I mean, you know your school and your community. You know what options there are for families that might not be able to afford the field trip. Every school does it differently. So this is something to just consider when you are looking at the field trip. It's not an unlimited budget, unless for some schools, maybe it is. But in most cases, I would guess not. Okay, so now you've picked the place. Then you need to send home permission slips, I'm guessing. Again, every school does it differently. We have a whole system in my district with the permission slips and all that. And then you need to ask for parent volunteers if you can. Now, again, this is dependent on the location that you pick. But usually places will have, like, you know, the kids come at one price, or the kids maybe are free and you're paying for the adult chaperones. Like, it totally depends on the location, but you need to figure out, based on the cost, probably how many parent volunteers you can have, because you're not asking, I've never heard of asking the parents to pay to be a chaperone on the field trip. It's like an overall cost of the field trip that gets split up. Because the other thing is, like, school staff might be free, but maybe parents aren't. So you just have to figure all that out. You want to ask for parent volunteers. Now, how to do that? There's a couple different ways. You also need to figure out, let me back up for a second. You have to figure out how many parent volunteers you can have. How many groups can you have? How many adults can you pay for? That's the important thing to figure out. Because then from there, you figure out how many school staff you have going. And then if you need parent volunteers or not, you might have enough school staff, you don't need it. But if you do need parent volunteers to keep groups small, because that is the goal, is to keep groups small, you want to email out to your families and ask for volunteers. I usually do it a couple different ways. I either just say, I send it out and I say, first come, first serve. That's that, just to keep it simple. Or I'll say, I'll randomly pick a name by the next day. You know, email me by tonight. I do like that option because not everyone's sitting by their email. And so it's more fair in my mind. But sometimes it's just more black and white of, like, these two emailed first, boom, done. Moving on. I only usually have two parent volunteers. I've been on a couple different field trips at different schools where there was, like, maybe four volunteers, but I wouldn't do more than that. It's just a lot to manage, personally. Make sure that they know when they're signing up, like, what the timing of it will be, including the transportation. Are they going to be coming on the bus with you or meeting you there? This is all important information for them. And if you get more volunteers, you could offer to put them on the wait list, because sometimes people back out or they get sick. And so it's really good to have a list of people you can call to be like, hey, you wanted to do the field trip. Are you available? After you ask for the parent volunteers and you have that all settled before the field trip, like, I'm talking like the day before the field trip, 2 days before, you want to make your groups. You want to do this ahead of time. Assign kids to an adult. This will help with making sure that kids are safe on the field trip, that you have an eye on every single kid, because it's impossible for you to keep track of 22 kids by yourself in an open arena. No, you just can't. They're going everywhere, right? But if you split them up into groups, then the parents or the teachers or staff, whoever, only needs to keep track of 4 or 5 kids. Well, that is a huge difference. That is way better, right? And you just kind of agree that you move as a group. You go to things that everyone wants to do, but you stick as a group. You don't just wander off. When you're making your groups, definitely if you have parent volunteers, you put the child with their parent. That's important. But then you want to balance out the groups with personalities and different needs that kids have. Obviously, I think the kids that are the neediest or biggest behavior concerns, or concerns of, you know, getting lost or running away or something like that, it should be with you or another experienced school staff member that knows them and has a relationship with them. So I kind of start with the neediest. I start with the kids of the parents and the neediest kids first, and then I divvy everyone else up. I do try to put kids with someone that they like and enjoy, but not necessarily their best friend, because depending on how they are, they might not then engage with the other kids in the group, or they might, you know, just make it harder to manage the group as a whole. I mean, some, as we know, some kids are really good friends and some kids are don't make good choices when they're with their best friend, right? So split those kids up that don't make good choices together. And definitely make a list of this for you to keep, but also give a list for the parents to keep so that they know who is in their group and they know who they're in charge of. So then leading up to the day, you want to send an email to families, letting them know what to expect, what they need to bring. Maybe they need a packed lunch and that's not typically the case. Maybe they can get school lunch, but today they can't. Or maybe they need a water bottle or a hat or sunscreen. Like, think about what it is and make it very clear for families what they need to do for the day of the field trip. And my suggestion is to encourage them to wear either matching shirts if they all have like a school shirt. So I say if you have a school shirt to wear it. And then I say if you don't, wear a similar color, right? So my color is like dark blue. So I say wear a blue shirt or wear the school shirt. That helps when you are, especially in a place with lots of field trips, makes it very easy to find the kids. One of the grades I know actually tie-dyes shirts to wear on the field trip day. If you have shirts to give out, my suggestion is not to give it out until the day of the field trip, because inevitably someone will forget. And that will be very annoying for you having done all that work and then boom, they don't have it. So definitely it helps though when they have the same shirt or the same color to find in the crowd, right? And if you have multiple classes and it's a big space, like you could even break it down further and say one class wears this color, one class wears the other color. But for us, we've always just done the school shirt and then a similar color if you don't have that. You also on the day of want to give everyone a name tag, ideally one that hangs around their neck, because the sticker ones just don't stay stuck. But it's okay if it is the sticker one. If you are making the sticker one, put the name of the school too. Or the name of the teacher at the very least. My hanging name tags that hang around the kids say the kids' names and the name of the teacher. I never do last names because you are going to be out in public, right? And so you don't really want all that information out there. But it's really important for all the parent volunteers or school staff that might not know everyone, or field trip staff, like people that work there, if a kid does get lost, like for them to know the name and who their teacher is. That is my biggest number one fear, if you can't tell from listening to this, is losing a kid on a field trip day. Hasn't happened. But that is what stresses me out. Until we get back to the school, I'm always like counting, double counting, triple counting, making sure, because that is my number one fear. You're out in public, you know, you're not in your safe four little walls. Like you just don't know. Okay. So what do I bring on the field trip? I bring a little baggie with me and wherever we're going, I don't just bring it on the bus. It has a small first aid kit. And I think something to keep in mind for that is a little plastic bag too, or like a trash bag or shopping bag, whatever, because kids can get car sick. And so it's good to have a handy, trust me. I've only needed to use it once, but it was very handy to have. You probably want a water bottle so you can stay hydrated. And definitely, like, I bring the permission slips with me that have like the emergency contact information on it, or your phone, definitely your phone, so that you can reach people as needed if there was an emergency or something. All right. So then when you have the field trip day, or even before, you want to go over the rules. And then if you do it before, you definitely want to do it again the day of. So sit everyone down and go over the rules. Talk about bus behavior. You know, you're sitting in your seat, you're sitting on your bottom the whole time. You have to listen to the bus driver, whatever it is. There's only really two rules that your kids need to know about. I mean, obviously different places are going to have different rules. If you go to the zoo, I'm sure they're going to say, don't touch the animals. But your two rules will be listen to your adult and stay with the group. And that's it. That's the bottom line. Listen to your adult and stay with the group. So I go over that and I tell them multiple times. I have them repeat it to me. And then when we meet our parent volunteers, I have them tell their parent volunteers what the rules are. And then, like I said, the place itself will have their own rules, but those two kind of cover it, right? Listen to the adult and stay with the group. I also think that on the day of, your kids, I've said this before, kids feed off of your energy, right? So if you are like me, freaking out about losing a kid, they're going to feel that if that is like the outward emotion. I keep my emotions under the surface. You only notice it because you see me counting all the time. That's the only reason you would know. But when I'm talking and what I'm saying and the way I'm acting, like you can't tell that I'm thinking about losing a kid. So keep that in mind, that the kids feed off of your energy, right? And you want them to be excited, but also not too excited, right? Just the right level amount of excitement. So yeah, I think, you want to have the other thing is you want to have a plan with the parent volunteers, if you are going off, about exactly what time you are meeting back and where. If it's a really big place, it might even be good to show kids like what the staff members look like if they were to get lost, or like where they could go if they got lost or something like that, just to cover your bases. But that shouldn't happen if you're in small groups and the adults are keeping track of their 4 or 5 kids. But definitely good to have a plan of like, okay, the bus gets picked up at 2. So let's meet here at 1:45. We'll do a final count and make sure you have the phone numbers of the parent volunteers, so that if one group isn't there and they've lost track of time, you can find them easily. The other thing, depending on the layout of the place you're going or the size of it, you might want to make a plan if you're going with several classes at the same time from your school. You might want to make a plan for how you're going to move about it so that not everyone is going to the same place at the same time. Like, let's take the zoo, for example. And I say this because I've only been on a field trip to the zoo once. We, by the way, mostly go to like different museums or things. But if you're at the zoo, there's different sections. You have like, you know, the zebra, the lion, the butterfly house. I'm thinking of the zoo in Boston. You have the elephants. I actually don't even know all the animals there. But anyway, you know, you have different sections, right? You have the reptile section and you have the nocturnal section. Okay. So if you make a plan ahead of time with your other teachers on your team, like you're saying, okay, you can find a map online and you say, I'll take this route. Well, I'll go to the right and I'll hit the reptile house first and then the elephants. And someone else is like, okay, well, I'll go straight and I'll hit the lions and then the zebras and then we'll loop around. Okay. And then the other teacher goes to the left, right? You get what I'm saying. But that way, it's not too crowded all at the same time going to all the one lion area when there's 25 other areas. You don't want all the groups to be at the lion area. So those are my tips. That's what I have for you. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting, but that's generally it. Those are the tips. They don't have to be stressful. They can be well managed. They can be simple and planned out and successful. And also, I just like to count my kids all the time. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I don't fully enjoy field trips. I like it when I'm there. The kids have so much fun. They get so much out of it. But I just worry about losing a kid. But using these strategies and counting a lot, you will be fine. It's really about the experience for the kids and the memories that they'll have. Take lots of pictures. Ask the parents to take pictures so you can share it in your end of the year slideshow and any kind of end of the year things you have. Like, it's about the memories and the experience. And think too about how some kids might not ever get to experience something like this, right? I mean, I don't know your community, but even within a wealthier community, you have families that might not go out and do things, or you have families that, even though they live in a wealthier community, might not be able to afford to go out and do things. Like, you don't want to assume. So it's about the memories and the experience. And I hope you have a fantastic field trip whenever you go. Reach out anytime with questions about your particular field trip. If you want advice about like planning for it ahead of time, we can set up a coaching call. We can set up a coaching call about anything going on. I love helping teachers one-on-one with the problems that they're dealing with in their classroom. I've helped teachers with classroom management, engaging lessons, planning small groups, managing the curriculum, all that stuff. I absolutely love it. So if you're having any kind of problem, reach out and I will let you know if that's something I can help you with. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.